This is January the 18th, 2009, the year of our Lord, Zion Baptist Church, 11 o'clock service. And we're in Matthew, the 16th chapter, beginning at verse 21. We will continue Old Testament idolatry, New Testament sevolatry. Matthew, the 16th chapter, let's begin reading at verse 21. Let's read the words of the living God. His holy word says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Our God, we thank thee now for your wonderful grace and mercy. We plead for your mercy, O Lord, that you might fill us with your Holy Spirit today. O God, that you may change our hearts and draw us nigh unto thee. O Lord, that we might love thee. I pray, O God, you would give us a heart, O God, that was so in love with Thee and for Thy Word, O Lord, that we would abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. O God, that we might live a life that was pleasing unto Thee. O God, that we might live a life as though we were going to heaven and preparing for that trip and preparing for that life in heaven while we're on this earth. Have mercy upon us, O God, I pray. Bless the reading of your word. Bless your servant, O God, as he ministers to your people, as he preaches your word. O Holy Spirit, may you go forth in power to convict men of sin, to comfort those that are oppressed, but, O Lord, that you might save the lost. Have mercy, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. We'll take up where we left off, not doing much in the way of review. It is very evident what Jesus is saying here, that if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What does it mean for a man to deny himself? Because Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. There is some human responsibility here. There is some human responsibility and accountability. He says, let him take up his, deny himself. Excuse me. I think we said before at the ending of our last sermon, the Christian life begins as an act of self-renunciation and a continued by self-mortification. In Romans, the 8th chapter and the 13th verse, it very well says what we are supposed to do. Romans 8 and 13. He says, For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Same thing Christ is saying. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. So you're going to mortify the deeds of the flesh. You're going to deny yourself. When Paul of Tarsus was struck down by the light on the road to Damascus, the first thing that he asked the Lord after he was struck to the ground and fell to the ground by the great light that he saw, and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing he said was, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" It's what every believer, every man ought to ask Christ, every human walking the face of the earth, whether he professes to be a Christian or not. Jesus Christ is his King. It's best that he see that now. It's best that he admit that now, that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Creator. He is our God. He is our King. And we should all ask, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" And the Lord Jesus has told us what he would have us to do. Deny ourselves. If any man's going to live in eternity past, he must deny himself. He must deny himself now while he's walking on this earth. He must deny himself. Don't wait until your deathbed and expect the Lord Jesus to save you on your dying bed, because he's told you well and before to deny yourself. He's telling you now by his minister, by his servant, to deny yourself. He tells you by the Word of God to deny yourself. What are you waiting on? You'll stand before Him without excuse, because you've heard His Word say to deny yourself. The world today is in love with self, and they mean to have their own way. Every man is determined to have his own way. In Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And Christ says you must deny yourself. You must deny your own way. You must follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our example. And what did he do in 1 Peter? In 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter. So, preacher, why are you using so many scriptures? Because my words are worthless. But the Word of God has consequences. Verse 21 says in 1 Peter 2:21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." He is our example, the Bible says in the 21st verse, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. The Lord Jesus is our example. He is the one that we are to follow. He is the one that is our example, that we follow after him. We don't rest on our own works. We deny ourselves. You cannot rest on your own abilities to get to heaven. That was the problem that Peter had. He was depending upon his own strength when he told the Lord, This will not be. This is not so. It's not going to happen. He took him off and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, or pity thyself, Lord. Save thyself, he says. But it was right the opposite that Jesus had told them. You must deny yourself, and you must lose your own life. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. We have no righteousness. That was the problem that the Jews had. They didn't want to accept the righteousness of Christ. They didn't want His righteousness. They wanted their own. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Romans 10:3. We must renounce. We must deny our own wisdom. We think that we're very smart and that we know things, and we're ignorant, blind, naked. We don't know anything. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them, because we think we know the way, but we do not. Professing themselves to become wise, they become fools. Romans 1:22. Lay not to your own understanding, Proverbs 3:5. For a man to utterly deny himself is to completely renounce his own strength. Peter says, Lord, be it far from thee. This shall not be unto thee. He wanted the Lord to raise himself up to be a king. He wanted the Lord Jesus to deliver Israel from the Roman Empire, but he did not savor the things of God. Jesus told him, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. People today, the common churchgoer, you don't see a denying of their self. You don't see a mortification of the sins and of the deeds of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. They have, in their own wisdom and in their own way, they have begun to think and been told by lying, ignorant, stupid preachers that all they have to do is accept Jesus as their personal Savior, join the church and come to church and pay their tithes, and they have a ticket to heaven. That's not what Jesus said. He said, you must deny yourself. Doing whatever you want to do every day, not taking the Word of God and being conformed to the image of Christ, is not what Jesus said do. Doing your own thing is not what the Lord said do. We're to conform ourselves to the image of Christ. We are to use Him as our example. We are to deny ourselves, to deny our own strength. 2 Timothy, the second chapter. 2 Timothy in the second chapter. Just before Titus. Just before Hebrews, 2 Timothy 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Not in your own strength or not in your own wisdom. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me amongst many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We deny ourselves. We obey our captain of our salvation. It's to completely renounce your own will. The unsaved man the worldly man says, with the Jews, we will not have this man to rule over us. That's what they said in Luke, the 19th chapter. We will not have this man to rule over us. But the Christian's attitude is, the Lord Jesus Christ is our example. The Christian's attitude is for me to live as Christ. In Philippians 1 and 21, for me to live as Christ and to die is to gain. For me to live is the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that I do, everything that I say, the thoughts that I think, my very will becomes to do the will of God, not my own will. I have to deny myself. It means to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians, the 2nd chapter. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Now these are the words of God. This is in Philippians, the 2nd chapter. And Philippians, the 1st chapter, those two things that I just said. And then in Luke, the 16th chapter, Luke the 11th chapter. Turn with me. I know you have your Bibles. In Luke the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 29, Luke the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 29, and when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign. And there shall be no sign given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. For as Jonas, For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. This is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we've just been studying in Hebrews on the Sunday evening services, that God at sundry times spoke to our fathers in divers manners. Here a little and there a little, He revealed about the Messiah to them. But in these last days, He has spoken to us, He says, by His Son, all at once. Now, in Luke the 11th chapter, in verse 29, through 32, the Lord Jesus says, when the people were gathered together, He began to say, this is an evil generation. He said that of His own generation. You're an evil generation, He says. Because they seek a sign, and there shall be no sign given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. Now, what was Jonas the prophet, and how was he a sign unto the Ninevites? The Ninevites were an evil generation, and they were committing terrible, ungodly sins, perverse, destroying themselves with sin. And the Lord sent Jonas to the Ninevites and told them, repent or die. I'm not going to put up with your sin anymore. They believed him. They believed the man Jonas that come and preach to them. God said, if you Ninevites don't repent, I'm going to destroy you. They believed it and they repented. And God didn't destroy them. So Jonas was a sign unto them. He was a sign unto them that if they didn't repent, God was about to destroy them. Now, you remember the queen of the south, how that she had heard of the wisdom of Solomon, and she took off with gifts coming because she wanted to sit at the feet of Solomon and hear the great wisdom that he had. And so the Bible says here that that queen of the south will rise up on the judgment day and stand in judgment against this generation that Jesus was, and will judge them because there's a greater than Solomon here, and you won't hear him. You want a sign. The Word of God is not enough for you. You want me to show you something. You want me to work some miracle. You want me to feed you, or you want me to heal the blind, or heal the sick. You want me to show you some sign, because the Word of God is not enough for you. And so the Queen of the South will rise up in judgment on the judgment day against this generation. Because she come from the utter parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And the men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. And I'm telling you, Christian people, that's supposed to deny yourself, and this evil generation that we live in, that the Word of God is here. And there's not going to be another sign. People are always looking for a sign. And Jesus said, deny yourself. You don't have to have a sign. All you need is the Word of God. And He said, deny yourself. Because there's a greater than Jonas. There's a greater than Solomon. It's the Word of God. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Do all these people that are going to church and that are in church this morning, do they really think in the pits of their soul that all they have to do is make a profession or a confession with their mouth and that they're going to heaven? Do you here today think that you're going to heaven just because you profess the Lord Jesus Christ and you're not denying yourself and taking up your cross to follow Him? Nineveh will rise up in judgment against you. Because you would not receive the Word of God, but you was looking for a sign. You wanted some kind of sign. No man, verse 33 of the same chapter, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Now that's just common sense. When a man lights a candle, he doesn't stick it under a bushel or under a bed or under anything, but the reason that he lights it is so that he can see, and so that the man that come to his house can see, or anybody that comes in may see. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, the body is also full of darkness. Take heed to the words of the living God and what He is telling you about the light that is in you. That life that is in you is that conscience that God's given you. Isaiah said, you'll hear a voice speaking from behind, telling you which way to go, to turn here or to turn there. Don't do this and do that. You call it your conscience. And it's God leading you. It's God giving you a little light. And that's all you need, is that little bit of light that He gives you to walk in. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Take heed that you pay attention to the light that God has given you when He says to deny yourself, church. Don't think that your profession or your confession of the Lord Jesus Christ without a denying of self will get you through them pearly gates. You better follow the light that He's given you. And the light is His Word. And when He shows you His Word, you best follow what His Word says. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Me. In Mark the 14th chapter, these are the words of God. Mark 14, verse 36. And He said, Abba, Father, 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 all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not that I will, but what thou will. There's our example. There's our Savior. There's our Redeemer. There's the man that said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. He himself said, Lord, if Father, Abba, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, because I'm in agony here. I'm hurting here. The sins of my people are upon me, and I'm sweating drops of blood. But not my will. There's the man that denied himself. There's the man that denied himself. There's the man that became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, who denied himself to do the will of his Father. And old Puritan preacher said, a man's self is a bundle of idols. I told you that this is Old Testament idolatry, New Testament selfolatry. And that old Puritan preacher said, a man's self is a bundle of idols. That's our self. We serve self. Non-Christians are lovers of their own self. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. And churchgoers today are lovers of pleasures more than they are lovers of God, because they deny not themselves. They mean to do their own will and refuse to do the will of God.
and they're going to bust hell wide open thinking that they've been born again. And they're going to say, but Lord, didn't we do this? And Lord, didn't we do that? And He'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You meant to do your own will. And you did. You cannot refuse to deny your own self. You must have Jesus Christ to rule over thee. The non-believer is a lover of pleasures more than the lover of God. The non-believer refuses to deny himself. And he loves, the non-believer loves himself. That's what 2 Timothy said. But what does the believer say? A person that's seen himself says with Job, in Job, the 40th chapter, I am vile. That's how he sees himself. And in the 42nd chapter, he says, I abhor myself. Of non-Christians, it is written in Philippians 2:21, all seek their own, not the things that are Jesus Christ. But of saints, it says, they love not their own lives, even unto death, in Revelation 12:11. A born-again believer loves not his own self, even unto death. He loves God, and he'll die loving God. He'll never deny the Lord Jesus Christ, not only in his with his mouth, but in his ways that he lives. Titus 2:12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It's not to be an occasional thing. It's to be a constant thing. That we deny self. We take up our cross and we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do it daily. Not just on an occasion. In Luke 9:23, the same scripture says that we were reading here in Matthew the 16th chapter. In Luke the 9th chapter, he says, to take up your cross daily and follow me. In Luke 9:23. And he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's a continual thing. It's not an occasional thing. It's not something that's done every now and then. In Colossians the 3rd chapter, in the 23rd verse, he says, and whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord. Continuously. This is for born-again believers. That they deny themselves, and it's not occasionally, it's constantly. And take up his cross. To take up his cross. So the born-again believer, the person that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, not just the casual churchgoer and the professor, not that person that just walked down the aisle and accepted Jesus as personal Savior because some stupid preacher was saying, won't you please come? Christ is standing at the door knocking, begging you, won't you please let him in, idiot? Shut up! That's not what the Bible says. You won't find that anywhere in the Scriptures. Oh, I despise lying preachers. If they knew how bad I wanted to grab them and shake the bird. Because they're causing the people of God to go astray. There'll be many in hell crying out because of some lying preacher that lied to them about their salvation. That didn't teach them that it requires repentance. Means turn from your wicked ways to serve the living God. Repent. God requires all men everywhere to repent. Walk in the light that you've got. If He's given you a little light, walk in that light. I don't care if you say you're a Christian or not. You're a creature, aren't you? You're a human being. God created you. Walk in the light that He's given you. Read the Scriptures. Do the best you can do with what you've got. Beg and plead for God to save your lost soul. Be like Nineveh. At least you'll be able to stand up on judgment day and judgment against a perverse generation. Walk in what He's given you. Read the Scriptures. The cross is an experience of the soul. It's not something that you hang around your neck and wear. It's an experience of the soul. It's something that you do daily. You take up your cross. And what is a cross? People's got them tattooed on their arms and everywhere you can imagine. They wear them around their necks. They have no idea what the cross is. What was the cross to Jesus Christ? It was death. It was hatred of the world. The Jews said, "We'll not have this man rule over us. Crucify him. Not just kill him anyway. Hang him on a cross." It was the hatred of the world that put Jesus on the cross, and He said, "You don't take my life from me. I give it. I give my life." You're not, as far as the people that killed Him was concerned, they were murderers. And they killed Him. But as far as Christ was concerned, He gave His life for those that would follow Him. Those that would take up their cross. And what is the cross? It's the hatred of the world for believers, for the Word of God, for Christ. And it's death. It's death to the world. It's death to self. That is the cross. What do you think the cross is? A piece of stick? It's you denying yourself. It's you dying to the world. It's you dying to self and sin and Satan. It's dying to all these things. That's the cross. It's causing the world to hate you by the life that you live. That's the cross. We'll take up the cross next Lord's morning. Our God, we thank Thee for Your wonderful grace and mercy. We plead with You, O God, that You would convict men of sin and cause them to repent and turn.